Here we are again. Episode 3, The Gamecasters. I'm Ryan James. This is Jeremy Pete.
Jeremy Pete.
Germ Flinger.
Yes.
So, we played a couple games tonight.
We did.
And they were pretty sweet, I think. I don't know what you think.
Yeah,
they were awesome. But we played Alien Frontiers.
Yep.
And Biblios. So what'd you think of Alien Frontiers?
Well...
that does not bode well.
No, it was good. My initial experiences with it years ago wasn't good, and I think it was because it just wasn't taught well, or we missed some rules and things. So I actually had rated this on BGG as a 4.
A 4. I saw that. I was all excited before he came over. I was like, oh, I can't wait to play this. He's going to love it. This and that and this and that. I don't think he's ever played it. Yeah. And he comes over. He's like, oh.
Let me show you this. It's a 4.
And it wasn't 4 out of 5. It was 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
So yeah, that did not, I wasn't, you know what? Actually, I took that as a challenge and I was like, you know, I'm going to make this 4. Turn into at least a 4.1. And hopefully that was achieved. So tell me, if you can, like, what do you remember anything at all about what happened and why you rated it a 4 before?
I really don't. Yeah, I don't remember the details on it, but it felt like it was broken.
Yeah.
Of course, the game we played today had some expansions added to it.
Yep, we played with factions and agenda cards. Yep.
The factions are great.
I like those
the way
two.
It works.
I don't think I'll ever play it without it.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't sure if you had played it or not, but I knew that John, who was our third player, I knew he hadn't played it. So I was just like, well, I'm going to teach it with this no matter what. And I think that's how I'll always play with those factions, because they add, you know, a little variability to the game. So Alien Frontiers is a, if anyone hasn't played it, it's a dice rolling worker placement, you know, a la Kingsburg. Yeah. Kind of in that same realm. I don't think the games are really that similar. They get compared all the time. I think it's because they're really two of the only dice rolling worker placements out there. I mean, there's more games that... Worker placement is such a loose term, right? People use worker placement to mean so many different things.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is you kind of use workers to take a spot that blocks other people, you know, and gives you an immediate resource. Or it doesn't have to be immediate, but anyway.
Or action or
Or an action or whatever it is. But, it's basically a lot like Kingsburg. You have a pool of dice at the beginning of your turn. You roll them, and you can allocate those dice, depending on the pips that there are, right, to certain spots around the board, which are around the planet. You're, like, populating a planet is really...
Yeah.
Well, not pot. Yeah, you're kind of... You're adding...
Adding settlements.
Yeah, your colonies and stuff like that to the planet. And you're putting your dice around the planet to give you resources and give you cool agenda cards and tech cards that can give you more resources and just kind of do building stuff onto each other. And you're blocking the other players. And there's even a space that you can attack the other players, which we actually didn't utilize even one time this game.
Nope.
And I was surprised that you personally
didn't
do that.
You're surprised?
Well, I know you like take that elements, things. And if you can...
I just didn't see a use for it with the setup that I had. It didn't make sense for me.
No, we each, the three of us, had our own separate little engine going. But anyway, what do you think about the mechanics of the game?
I really, really like it. I mean, I would rate it between a 7 and an 8 now.
Wow. Yeah. You know,
it's much better.
That's right.
Yeah, I would definitely play it again.
Okay.
It just had a really good flow with how the dice are used to work for the worker placement part. And it seemed like once the engine got going, time was ticking, you know, like the game plugs along and you're like, wow,
it
like,
felt racy this time.
It
and it kind of is a race, because you have basically, you have 7 colonies, and there are these little bubble things, which are really cool. The components are very awesome. Each player has 7 colonies, and the goal is to get those colonies out onto the planet. And in that way, it's area majority, because the planet is divided into a bunch of different sections, and you get points for not only just putting your colonies onto the planet, but also having majority in a particular section of that planet, right? So once you get your 7th colony onto the board, the game ends, and you score, where you basically, add up all the victory points and see who won. But the cool thing I think about the scoring is... It's kind of like a Cosmic Encounter scoring. I don't think you've played Cosmic Encounter yet. But your points that you score, when you score them, they're not yours, really. They can be taken from you, right? So if I score a point and have majority in a place, if you then contest me by putting one of your colonies in a place where I already have a colony, then I drop back that point because now I don't have majority. We're both, you know, we both have one. And each of these spaces also has a cool little power that you get. And if you lose majority in there, you lose the power as well. Yeah. So it's a really cool back and forth, ebb and flow kind of mechanic that I think really makes you pay attention to what everyone else is doing.
And when you lose these things, it's not that difficult to get them back.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
a
it's
good
not
point.
Like you're put so far beyond, you know, back where you can't catch up. You know, and the scoring track is so small. What's it go up to?
14. Yeah.
So there's, you know, not a lot of range there.
Yeah, that's
like
a good
other
point.
Games. So it's, I think it's good.
I love it. I love the game. It's fantastic. Again, you just, you know, you're rolling dice, you're putting them out there, you're getting your colonies onto the board, and that's the crux of the game. You know, it's worker placement, area majority, resource management. There's only two resources in the game. There's ore and there's solar power.
Yep.
Right? That's it. And then you use that for everything, and you can get the cards and the tech cards, which are can be very powerful, give you cool ways to manipulate the rules and different mechanics of the game, and it's very awesome. Everything about it in that way, I love. And for that reason, it's number 8 on my top 20 that I made.
Yep,
and it was, it was even higher last year. It was number 4 last year. The only reason it dropped was because there's so many games, I just didn't play it as much.
Yeah.
You know, but this is one of those games I always want to play it. I will never turn it down. I should rate it a 10 for that reason, according to Board Game Geek. You know, their rating system is based on how often you would play it or would you play it. I would always want to play it. Always recommend it. Never turn it down. It's great. What are the positives for you?
I wouldn't turn it down either. You know, it's a great game. I think I would take this one over Kingsburg.
Yeah, me too.
It seems like there's more to it. There's more depth there as far as different strategies you can use and the variability and how the game plays.
With those factions.
Yeah.
At least Kingsburg without To Forge a Realm, the expansion.
Yeah.
Adding the expansion in, it makes it a little bit more on par, I think. Without the expansion, Alien Frontiers far and away.
Yep.
Right?
For sure.
I mean, and the artwork, the components, the quality of the components in Alien Frontiers, I think, is very good.
Very good. Yep.
What negatives, if there are any, could you think of?
I can't think of anything right off the bat.
It didn't happen in this game, but one of the usual detractors for me and why I don't bring it out all the time is there's a lot of downtime issues that I experienced. It didn't happen this play. It only took us like an hour and a half. There was only 3 of us, and so that's probably about how long it should take.
Yeah.
But normally, if I play with 3 or 4 players, it takes upwards of 2.5 hours because towards the end you're looking at the points, you're looking at what you got, you have all these cards, and so you know this card lets me add 1 to this die, and this card, if I spend a resource, I can, you know, add 1 to this or flip it over, and then I can put workers out here, but maybe I want to go to this space first, and then I can do that. You know, there's a lot of different interlocking mechanisms that, you know, I do this to do that, to do this to do that, and it can lock people's minds up.
Oh, for sure.
It didn't seem to happen to us this time.
No, but I think that's just that our game was like that because of what was happening.
It was. Jeremy was just rocking it. So he had this faction, and it was great. It let him basically get more. So, and it's a worker placement game, right? And a lot of worker placement games, one of the best things to do is to get more workers. And so there's an action that you can take to get more workers. Jeremy had a certain faction, which is an expansion, that only he could use, that let him, once he got another worker, he got to take it into his supply immediately. Where normally in the game, once you get another worker, it has to sit for a round before you can take it back.
Wait for it. Yeah.
So Jeremy was just able to get workers and you put them to work immediately.
Yeah,
which, you know, which meant that he got to do more stuff than us. Yeah. And so he was able to get things onto the board really quickly. And that was just really cool kind of to watch that because I could tell you were kind of having a good time with it because you, sometimes in games I'll watch you and if you're not really engaged, it'll be your turn and you're just kind of like,
what can I do?
What the hell am I supposed to do now? This game, it came to your turn and you were like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
damn,
I knew what
done,
I wanted to
you know,
do.
And it was like, wow. Okay, yeah. So that was, it's cool to watch that because you had your own little self-contained engine built that was completely separate from what I was doing and from what John was doing.
Yeah, we all kind of had our own.
We all had our own separate little thing. So that was Jeremy's, was like getting and utilizing the workers and then spending his action to put, you know, he could, if he rolled a six, he could put it on this one spot to basically kill that worker, but put a colony on the board. But the cool thing was, killing that worker didn't matter for him because he had the sweet faction that let him get the worker back and put it right back into play.
It's a cycle.
So he was doing it that way, and I had a cool faction that let me send my colonies. There's this like hub that you go on, and you put a bunch of dice down, and every time you put a dice down, you advance your colony along this track, and there's like seven spaces. Once it gets to the seventh space, you pay some resources and send it out. My faction let me send it out on the sixth space instead of the seventh, so I'm going not as far. Yeah, and then I got this cool ability that let me move an extra space whenever I moved at least two, so I could get, you know, I was boom, 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 humming along doing that track, and that was great. And then John was using the other way to do it, right? So he got the cool faction that always let him convert his resources one-to-one. He was just exchanging resources, boom, 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 like crazy. And then he eventually had an engine going where he would get three solar power. He would use that space to convert them into ore. And then he had cards that let him manipulate his dice to get three of a kind. And then he would put them on the three of a kind space, which is the last space that lets you put colonies out.
Yeah.
And so we were all doing, there's only three ways you can get colonies on the board. And all three of us were doing a different way. And that's, I think that's why it ended so quickly, because nobody was contesting anybody for, you know, I wasn't trying to challenge you for that sixth spot. You weren't challenging me on that colonist hub, and nobody was challenging John on the other space. So it was really, there was no way to stop any of us. It's just I happened to get it going a little quicker.
Yeah, and you ended it too, so that made a big difference.
You're right.
You know?
You're right.
I think it might have been more contested if there were four players.
Absolutely.
Because there's less space on the board.
That all, I think that would have added another hour onto the game.
Oh, definitely.
Don't you?
Probably.
So I love it. I don't know if you, what you think about it. I mean, that would be... I would put that
like top 10. I mean, like I always say, I have to play it again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's again another game that'll just grow on me.
Yeah.
And I'll enjoy it more with more plays.
So. Well, it's a good one too. We were talking before we started this about, you know, how games that are too mathy and too, you know, no luck element at all. You can kind of figure out this and that. This game, it's got a luck element in it. You know, the rolling of the dice, the drawing of the cards. So it's not going to play the same way every time. And that some people might find that frustrating. Yeah. You know, I happen to like it because it kind of makes it fresh.
I like it too. You know? And you know, rolling dice is cool.
Rolling dice is always fun. especially if you can mitigate bad rolls, which in this game you can.
There's always something you can use.
Always something you can do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get screwed by just rolling ones and twos.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, normally. Yeah. So that was Alien Frontiers. Then after that, we played two games of a game that Jeremy had wanted to play for a little while, and I thought tonight was the perfect night to break it out, and it's Biblios. Originally, I think it was Scripps and Scribes.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Scripps and Scribes, I think, was the original title of it, and then it went into Biblios. There's a Scripps and Scribes dice, a Biblios dice, two. I haven't played those. I don't know how similar they are. I imagine they're pretty similar. But tell us a little bit about Biblios.
That's a very simple game, really. It's just a card game.
Yeah.
All it is cards. Well, there's a set of dice that go along with it.
But you're right. You don't really do anything to those, really.
Yeah, those are just like place markers, really, for score. They don't. You don't roll a dice during the game.
They don't need to be dice, basically. It could just be a 6 point on each thing with a tracker that you can go, right? It does not need to be dice.
But, again, dice are fun.
Dice are fun.
And they're chunky, you know, they're bigger than the standard size. But it's basically just auction and bidding.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two phases to it. Selecting the cards.
Do you like that part of it? So what he's talking about,
I think,
at the very beginning,
I think
of the game,
I like that part better than the second part.
Do you really?
Well, I struggle with auction bidding games. I just don't know. Like,
oh, that's right. You were saying that.
Yeah. It's just, I have fun, but I just seem like I always like.
It's hard to know.
Don't make the right choices.
I know. Or you overbid it.
Yeah.
30. Yeah. Wait. That's all my money. So, there's basically a giant stack of cards, and there's two phases of the game. The first phase. We go around and we each take a certain number of cards. You look at them one at a time, and you look at it and you decide, do I want to put this in my own pile? Yes or no? If I say no, then I have another decision to make. Okay, do I want to put it face up to give it to one of the players, or do I want to put it face down to let it go in the auction, which is phase two? And you have to put one card face down in front of you to go into your hand, and only one card. So if you take that first card and you say it, you say you want it to be yours, boom. The next card you look at, you can't take it. So you have to even put that either in the auction. Or, yeah, even if it's a great card, you have to either put it in the auction or put it face up to give to one of the other players. And then you just go around in a circle. Everybody does that until that deck is exhausted. And then there'll be a little pile of auction cards. And then you have the cards in your hand. Some of those cards are going to be money. And most of the cards are going to be, you know, the colors that you're... Because it's really a set collection, right? Yeah, it's really a set collection game. You're collecting to get the sets majority. Of colors and yeah, the majority of numbers in five different colors.
Yep.
You need the majority of numbers in five different colors. Yep. So you're either going to have those cards or money cards or these special cards. So when you go into the auction with that second auction deck, you have some money in your hand and the cards are going to flip up one at a time and you're just going to bid on those cards to try to give you the most in these sets. Yep. And at the end of the game, once that auction deck runs out, the game ends, which, I mean, it's like a half hour. Maybe.
Maybe.
A little more, maybe not quite that much.
Depends on how many players, but...
Right. Once that's over, then you just go through each color. So you say that the brown die. You say, okay, let's go brown. Who's got the most in brown? And then you just... And then whoever has the most in brown takes the brown die. And then you go through all five dice. Whoever has the most number of pips on the dice wins the game.
Yep.
Right? So there's... Yep. You can manipulate the dice with little special cards throughout the game, which is kind of cool to make them go up or down in value.
I like that mechanic.
It's awesome.
To have that variation in how the score is changing at the end.
If it didn't do that, it would be so boring. Yeah, it would tie all the time. Dry. Yeah, it would be dry.
And speaking of tiebreakers, like there's a number of ways that it can... tiebreakers are worked into the game. So
I like that. Don't you hate it? Well, I don't know if you hate it, but I hate it when it's like... Tiebreaker one, most money. Tiebreaker two. Oh, if you're still a tie, then you guys just share the victory. It's like, come on. So in the game I'm designing, I go like 10 tiebreakers. And at the end, if it's still tied after 10 tiebreakers, the designer, me, wins. So I,
yeah, so I just, regardless of who's playing.
Regardless of who's playing, even if I'm not playing it. I don't care about that. But yeah, so I like games that have more, you know, more tiebreakers. And Biblios has like three or four. So that's pretty cool. What do you think of the game?
Overall, it's a great filler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, may not be one that I want to play all the time, but it's decent. It's light enough where it's a good in-between game that you can just play between heavier games.
And it's cool that you can kind of play it back-to-back.
Yeah, and that's what happened tonight. John wanted to play. Let's play another game.
It's like, okay, I get the feel of this now. Let's play it again. And we did, and it was you know, worked out awesome.
And it's a slightly different game every time because... You know, they have the cards that are taken out.
At the beginning of every game, you take out a certain amount of cards from the deck, so you can't
predict,
be like,
really.
I don't know. You can't be like, okay, I have this many, you know, blue cards. He must have this one. You can't do that because you don't know. You just don't know what is and what is not in the game. So that was game night tonight. Alien Frontiers, awesome. Highly recommended.
Yep.
Jeremy said he'd rate it a 7 or an 8. I give it a solid 9 out of 10. Yeah. I would say I have to rate it a 10, but I just don't like to... give many games a 10.
You got that.
You
10,
know, I have that like that 10 phobia where I don't want to totally commit to that. But I would give it a 9. And that's very, very highly touted for me. Biblios, I think I would probably give that a 7.5.
Yeah. Between 6 and 7 for me, probably.
Yeah. Which is that might sound bad to some people. I really enjoy it. It's just it doesn't get my motor running the way Alien Frontiers does, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a different type of game.
Alien
altogether.
Frontiers, I want to like take behind the high school and get it pregnant. Biblios, I just enjoy it. You know, I really like it. So those were the games for tonight. I don't know what we'll play next week. Probably something else. I don't know. We'll see.
It's always good.
It always depends on who comes up. But so this episode today, we want to kind of talk about the art of winning.
Yes.
And a bunch of topics related thereto. You know. Defining the win, which we'll do in a second, playing to win versus kind of playing to destroy, which we'll also kind of talk about, winning and enjoyment, you know, the comparison between the two. There's a lot of stuff I want to talk about in there.
Yeah.
When new players win, how to deal with cheaters, stuff like that. So, jump right in. There's a lot of questions that I think we're going to ask in this one, and I think it'd be kind of good, you know, if you listening, you know, ask when we ask these, like, think about them yourself. You know, like, how would you answer these questions? Because there's a lot of questions here that are, you know, they're dissenting opinions. You know, Board Game Geek people are really staunch one way, and then some people are like, well, who cares, this and that. So what is winning to you, Jeremy? I just gave him the eyes.
Well, I mean,
aside from just I have the most points, I win. What does it do for you? What is that? You know, like, what feeling do you get out of it?
Everybody kind of has a different approach or feeling or whatever about winning. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know, it kind of validates your abilities for a certain game that you're playing. You know, it's hard to say.
Well, no, some people tie their self-worth
to winning. Yeah.
You know, and that was a hard thing for me to do. Well, early on, I kind of did that. When I would lose every time, I would feel bad about myself. And then, you know, like, ugh, you know, these guys must think I'm stupid because I can't ever do well. And I think a lot of people struggle with that kind of thing early on, at least.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any of that?
I think not winning maybe was a point of frustration. You know, maybe not like, oh, I suck, you know. But it was more like, I feel like I can't compete at all.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't experienced that.
Is that a thing personally with you, or do you feel it like, oh, these other people are probably thinking this of me, or do you think it of yourself like, man, what's wrong with me that I can't?
Personally, I internalize it.
Yeah.
I would internalize it first. I wouldn't say, oh, these people are the people I'm playing with, that they're wrong and I'm, you know.
Yeah, I guess I mean more of like, if I'm playing with you and John in a game, like tonight. You know, and I got last place, we'll say, in every game. Historically, I might have been like, oh, they probably think I'm a loser. You know, because I lost in all those games. They think I'm not capable and I'm not smart enough. Yeah. You know, I've let that go. That was years ago. I let that go. But that used to eat at me and it would drive me crazy. Now I don't care at all. But did you ever experience that kind of thing where you were worried about your status, you know, outside of gaming because you lose?
No, I don't think so. But I think I've been fortunate enough to play with a lot of good people.
Yeah.
So, you know,
people that don't make you feel bad.
Yeah.
Because there is such a thing as bad winners.
Oh yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
It's not good. Yeah. No. I have played with people that are like that make you feel bad for losing, and you just
in your face,
yeah,
like that kind of thing.
It's just not that kind of personality. Just not somebody that I would want to game with.
Agree.
So.
I agree.
Avoid it, but I think I really have been fortunate to.
Would you say that winning is the reason that you play?
No. Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, winning is nice. It feels good to win, like to feel like you pulled it all together and it worked. But it's really about getting together with everybody, right, and having a good time.
Absolutely.
So
you don't really think, like when we played Alien Frontiers, right? You were doing really well. And when at the end of the game, it just kind of ended. It ended pretty quick, right? I feel like I just ended it out of nowhere. Oh, like, oh, and it's over. What did you feel
turn.
In that moment? You know, because you were, I feel like you were trending toward victory at the beginning, you know, and then I just kind of snatched it from you at the end. Do you know what I mean? Did that, like.
Rotten bastard.
Right. Did you have any. This is a family.
Well, I was kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, eh. Whatever.
Yeah. Did
I
that,
had fun.
Did, but I mean, did that diminish your enjoyment of the actual game?
No. No, I mean, that's just one little moment in the whole
great
process
point.
Of the game.
Great point.
I mean, I think being process-oriented when you're playing is a good thing, not just the end goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and it wasn't by much that you won.
No, guys.
What was it, 4 or 5 points?
Yeah, 4 points, maybe.
Which is maybe a lot.
And I guess in that game it is, but I mean, it wasn't like I was ahead 4 points the whole game. It was at the last minute. And the only reason I did that was because I had a special card and I had to kind of specifically attack you because you were already there.
Yeah.
So I put you down like 2 points as I got 2 points higher, you know.
Yeah,
so the end score didn't really, in my opinion, reflect how close the game was all game for us. For the three of us, even. John was right there, too.
It felt very, very close when we were, you know, throughout the whole game, I didn't feel like I was miles ahead of anybody.
Right. I will say, for me, winning is definitely not the reason I play, but It's that old Kanizia thing. I always play to win. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm always like, how do I do the best I can do? I can, you know.
You do the best that you can.
When I used to play
what you have.
Euros, specifically Euros before, I was just like, I'm just going to go through the motions and get through it. Because I didn't have any clue how to even try to win. Now that I kind of have more experience playing this stuff, it's easier to be like, okay, I'm going to do this to do that and to do that, and let's see if it works. But that's all what it is to me, is like an experimentation. It's not like, if this doesn't work, I'm going to punch the wall. You know, it's like, if it does work, I'm like, awesome, that was cool. And that's kind of how it was tonight. Like, I did this, I was doing this strategy the whole game, and I was like, this could win it for me. And then at the end, I saw a cool combination I could do, just based on what I rolled. I was like, oh, I can put this here and do that, and I can win. I was like, oh, that's cool. And it was more...
That's the that fun turn. Part of it, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't like, I'm going to win. Yes, I'm going to... like, this is going to make me win the game,
opponents.
And you're going to lose, and you're going to lose, and I'm going to win. It wasn't about that. It was more like, this is a really cool combination of things that makes me feel good that I saw it to pull it off.
Yeah.
And I did it, you know, and I exhausted every resource that I could, and it, like... just to get
just
it done, and
it pulled it together.
That felt cool. So and that was a win for me. It wasn't that the final score was, oh, I got 15 points and you only had, you know, 9, ha ha ha. No, it was not that at all. It was the way that in that turn that it happened,
you made it work.
I made it, making it work and seeing it come to, like you said, the process, right?
It is,
so
getting the brain going, you know.
There's this thing that my friend Jeff and I do every game we play, because what we were talking about winning, and, you know, if you're, you know, your direct enjoyment of a game is tied to winning or losing, it would completely affect, losing would completely affect my opinion of the game.
Yeah.
Before. And I realized that, like, you know, I'd play this game and I'd come in last, and I'd be like, I'd go home and I'd be like, I'm not playing that anymore. That game sucked. You know, the game sucked. And I didn't suck. It was, you know, and
it's
then I'd win a game. And I'd win a game like Roll For It. You played Roll For It with me, I think. It's just,
I think, you know,
and I'd be like, yeah, that game is so awesome because I won. And then I stopped and I'm like, okay, is Roll For It really that good? It's fun, but is it that good? Or do I only think it's that good because I won it?
Yeah.
You know, is Homesteaders really that crappy, or is it really only that crappy to me because I got dead last?
In every single
game. Tell me about it.
That one I didn't really enjoy for a long time.
Right. Me neither. It felt bigger than me, and I could not understand it, and the game made me feel stupid. The players
felt
didn't.
Like homework.
And you're playing it, and you're like sucking so badly, and then... your friend next to you is having the easiest time with it.
Just rocking it out.
It's frustrating, you know? But so my friend Jeff and I, what we did, I think he came up with the idea was to, he said, because he experienced this too, and he said, okay, how about we do this? Halfway through the game, no matter what game it is, we assess it right then. We don't let winning and losing affect any of it. We assess where the game is halfway through, and we do that. Pretty much every time we play a new game, we stop and we're like, all right, it's probably about halfway. What do you think? And we give our opinions right then.
That's a great idea.
And we found that that is a completely, you know, more of an unbiased. It's so much better. It's so, you get so much more of a real opinion then, because gaming is, it can be really emotional, you know, like it's a really emotional thing, and it's just easy to let your opinion be influenced,
especially the longer,
by that emotion.
The longer games, when you have more invested in it,
for sure.
So how does that, how does that method play into how you feel about winning or losing the game?
It kind of takes over, and the winning and losing kind of goes out of it, because it's all about enjoying, right?
Yeah.
And I think before, when I first started, I thought my enjoyment was only tied to the winning and the losing. And then I found, by doing this method, I'm more thinking about, because it forces you, why do I like this? It's halfway through, I like it. Why do I like it? I don't know that I'm going to win, so how come I'm, oh, because I'm actually enjoying the mechanics and how they work together, and this and that, and this and that. And that's what's fun. And that's and then I kind of grew as a gamer in that way, and I was able to appreciate more and see things more for what they were, rather than just my snapshot in time. I won by 1 point, even though it was random and completely asinine, or I lucked into it, you know, because I'd win a game and I'd be like, oh, I won. How did I win? And, you know, I shouldn't feel that good about that. But I'd be like, yeah, you know, and it's like, well, I don't even know how I did it. So why is that affecting me?
So many of these games are designed in such a way that they're so close anyway.
Yeah. Like Alien Frontiers.
Yeah. Which is, that's what I like about those games like that.
Yeah.
Is that you really don't feel like there's a clear winner anyway while you're playing it.
So you have a question here, and I really like it, and I want to talk about it a little bit. It says, is there truly an art to winning? I love that question.
Yeah.
And ask yourselves that too, because I think yes. Yeah. Yes, I think there is. Absolutely. There's a friend of, you know, the old group I used to play in, there was two guys. Jeff, the guy I was talking about, he's one of them. And this other guy, Bill, my other friend Bill. Those two, they would probably win 65% of the time. It's one of those two guys winning. And that's huge. Maybe 75% of the time, one of those two guys wins.
Yep.
You know? And, I mean, are they much smarter than me and you? I mean, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? No, we're all the same. It's just they get it. They have such a good, I don't know, just things click with them faster than they do with me. And yeah. They're just so good at seeing strategies the first time.
The structure.
Right. Like, I think they understand. So we've all played a ton of games. You know, we've all been playing around the same time. Jeff, not quite as long, maybe a year or two less. But I would say that he, kind of unlike anybody else, will learn a game and click and get it. Where it might take you and me two or three plays before we're like, oh, like Homesteaders.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he'll play a game and he gets it and he's got it. And then he can figure out how to win. And I think there's an art to it, because I think he can kind of see, like you were talking about last week, the common threads and the common things in certain games. Like, okay, if I manipulate this, then this will help me. And he can just see those, like, this leads to this,
step which
leads
one,
to this,
two, which leads to three, this. Mm-hmm. Four.
Because that's all it is, right? Yeah. It's math and how do I manipulate this to do that and that and that. And they're so good at that, you know, and it's just, it's almost like a talent, you know, or like he's born, like they're just, he's born that way. You know what I mean?
Well, so, their minds just work in that way where they can find patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And
naturally, it just happens. Yeah. They see the matrix. It's just the code. Bill used to talk about that all the time. He's like, I don't even see this. It's just zeros and ones. And it's true for me. It's more work. It takes me. And I think you know, we talk about this all the time where it's harder for us to out the gate, get there. You know, we have to kind of work at it more. What do you think about that?
I agree. It takes time.
Do you know anybody like Jeff and Bill that I'm talking about that they just get it?
I have played with people like that, but not for a while. I mean, that's part of my old group.
Yeah.
There's a guy that
just seems like he wins everything.
I think maybe he just played so many games and he was ahead of us in playing so many games when we were first starting that he knew the structures, sort of like he was familiar with how the games are put together and how to create those strategies, where we were just learning all these things first. So
was
we were kind of not in the same place.
To you?
Sometimes it was, you know, it felt like the rest of the group was just sort of mechanically going through it and trying to learn it. And then this guy is just like hammering through and, oh, I'm up by 50 points on everybody, you know?
'Cause that got to me. In the old group, Bill and Jeff would win everything, and eventually it wears on you. You know, you're just like,
so it really third affected place the fun
again. You know, sometimes I get second. It's like, yay! But for me, yeah. After a while, when I finally started seeing the pattern, and I was like, man, they're killing us. And I'd win once in a while, and it was cool. But like, I mean, seriously, 75% of the time, one of those two would win, and it's great for them, you know, and it's awesome, and they're just so, they're both so good. But yeah, after a while, it was just like, again.
You feel like you don't have a chance.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I would go over there, and I'd be like, we play again, feeling. I'd be like, all right, well, I guess. And I would ask Bill's wife, Christy, every time. I'd be like, what do you want, fourth or fifth place this time? Because we always felt like her and I were like the last two. And it was fine. I mean, because like you said, it was really just going to hang out. Because those are my best friends, those people. Yeah. They're like my best friends. So I would go over there and hang out with them. And that was the best part. But yeah, after a while, it was just like,
Were they gracious winners?
Oh, God, yeah. They were the best.
So that makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah. There was never a problem there. That group, I mean, all of them, they'd win, and they wouldn't talk about it. Almost to, like, where you feel bad. Like, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had that, where you win, and you're like, I feel bad because I'm winning. You know, like, they're kind of like that. Well, I mean, they don't feel bad, but they're very, they're very
mindful of.
Oh, yeah. They're fantastic about that. Attachment. Yeah, they'll you know, talk about, well, this just happened to work for me, and you were doing good over there, and this and that, and, oh, you could have just easily as won if this happened and that happened. Yeah, no, they're amazing people. But
so, if anything, losing to those kind of players teaches you the game in a different way.
Yeah, for sure. So, and now that I take those experiences to, you know, now we have a new group.
Yeah.
And I feel like, it's like, oh, not that we're, you know, I'm the them of this group or anything, because I don't win like at the rate that they did, but yeah, it feels like I benefited greatly from playing with those two.
Yeah.
And I realize now, after playing with more people, not just you guys but other people, how good those two really are.
Yeah,
you know. And it's like they're on a just so yeah, I feel like I was like studying with the masters for a while. You know, yeah, it's very cool. So have you played with people like that where they're just terrible winners?
Oh yeah.
Like, how does it, what is it, what do they do?
There was one person in particular that gamed with us just a couple times, but somebody that I worked with.
Yeah.
And then, so the next day.
Oh.
It was rubbing it in.
Gloating.
Ugh. Yeah, gloating is the worst. And it just,
it's not fun for anybody.
How
but
is
that person.
Fun for anybody?
I feel like, you know, that's like a self-esteem issue with the person.
Definitely.
You know?
And I saw it that way.
Yeah.
But that person didn't get invited.
Yep. You know what? I will say this. There was a friend in our old group who, he wasn't really a bad winner. He was just kind of, he didn't really get it the way we all got it. He would play with the sole intent to beat another player. And he would always say, if this player loses, I win. Wow. And so he would focus all of his entire energy on attacking that player, no matter if it was the optimal move or, you know, it wasn't the right, yeah. He didn't care if it wasn't the right move. He would just boom, boom, boom. And like your friend you're talking about, this guy didn't get invited to too many more game nights like that. Cause I don't know.
Who wants to play like that?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads us into this next question here is the difference between just simply winning a game and destroying someone at the game. You know, this guy, he just lived to destroy this other guy. And that, in his way, made him sound like he would win. But do you think there is a difference between...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a difference between, you know, winning the game and being humble and helping out your game group and being part of that whole social structure, or just pummeling your opponents, smashing them down in the game, and then running them over afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole... That's totally different.
Yeah. I'm going to smash you in the face with a baseball bat and kick you in the balls on the way down.
It's no fun. It really isn't.
Yeah, for sure.
What's the point?
I mean, there's two different schools of thought, I think, to this. Because there are some groups that are just cutthroat, hardcore.
Yeah.
I win or, you know, win or bust. And then there's groups like us where we just get together to have fun, and we all want to win. All of us want to win. We're not just like, I don't care. I'll just do this because it's nice to you. We don't do that.
No.
But if you're already losing, I'm not going to just come at you and just be like, well, should have done better. Here you go. Boom.
By the way, you suck.
Yeah. Right. And then beat you into a pulp and then, yeah. Text or Twitter, you know, God, Jeremy sucks tonight. What is his problem? You know, and that can just be really annoying.
So what do you think about this? How do you think that question relates to certain games?
Winning versus destroying?
Yeah, I mean, do you think certain games like kind of
lend themselves more to it? Yeah, that's a good question. Sure. I mean, certainly longer strategy games, I think, maybe probably lend themselves more to it. You want to just win.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like a game, I'm trying to see if there's any on my shelf over here that are like maybe that.
Less of the randomness to it and more just pure strategy.
Open information, longer strategy games. Correct. I agree with you. Those lend themselves more to, but still, I still see and think there's a difference. I still think that you can still try your hardest to win and not sacrifice. You're not sacrificing, you know, you're not taking it easy on the person, but at the same time, you're not just, I don't know. It, you're still just trying to have fun in the moment. You're not trying, you're not just like, I must win. 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 I must, you know, I must win. And I must be, if I don't beat you by at least 10 points, then I didn't do it right.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's people out there that are like that. Like, oh, I won. And then afterward, they're like, but I could have gotten 50 more points if I would have done this. It's like, dude, you won. You know, just
let's take play it something let's else. Let's play now.
Something else and be cool. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's all a good time. It's all about having a good time. It used to be if I lost, I was mad. If I was, you know, won, I was glad. It's not like that anymore. Now it's just hanging out, hoping. Really, for me, it's hoping that you guys have fun, to be honest. I still play to win. Like, I mean, Alien Frontiers, I played to win and I won, even though it was John's first game. I didn't take it easy on him, which leads me to that.
Yep.
And this, I think, is a very dissenting opinion on Board Game Geek. I've seen this a lot, or I've seen articles written about this, about what do you do with new players? What's most important? Is it most important to make sure that that new player has fun at the game? Or is it more important to you to teach them the rule set and then crush them into a pulp just to you know, just because, well, whatever, I'm always going to play to win, always.
Yeah, playing at full force.
Yeah, that's a better thing, because you're always going to play to win, but do you maybe make a suboptimal move? Maybe not. But do you maybe not try your strategy that's pretty sound on a new player at the expense of them hating that game because you just murdered them and they had no chance?
Yeah. I think if they feel like they have a chance in the beginning, they're more likely to come back.
and that's play. More important, don't you think?
I think so. And I think with these strategy games, if you have experience with it, multiple plays, it gives you a chance to play odd strategies. Like, how do I try something else that I've never thought of before? Maybe it will work, maybe it won't work, but...
And try those on a new player's thing.
Yeah, well, if you have somebody new to the game, like, why not just try something oddball? Maybe it'll fail.
I will say, and I was trying to put myself in the new person's shoes, if you're teaching me a brand new game, do I want you to play your hardest? You know, I'm trying to think about that, like that. Do I want you to take it easy on me? It's some, because I think some people say that, like, it's insulting to the new player to just not play the best. But it's a really contentious.
Depends on
you know,
the people too.
It depends on the people and depends on the game.
Yeah, I mean, there's
everything depends on the game. But
when you talk about new players, there could be a couple different types of new players.
Great point. John is not the same new player as my cousin and his girlfriend.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Like, John has experience. He's played multiple games. He's still somewhat new to the...
He is new to the hobby,
the hobby.
But he's got that strategy mindset, and he wants to play the heavier stuff.
Yeah.
Where my cousin and his girlfriend are more lighter fare, more fun stuff. And when you're playing a game with them, you're not going to just, like...
Let's play Terra Mystica.
Yeah, let's play Terra Mystica, and I'm just going to... take this faction because I know this is gonna just be the best. You know, I'm gonna min max the points based on what tiles are out there. Ha ha ha! You know, you're not gonna do that. I think in a case like that, I would give them, not handicap them, but give them the best position to win. Like when you and me first played Claustrophobia, I had you play as the demons.
Yeah.
I think personally, the demons are slightly easier to play, and I think they're more fun right out the gate. You know, some might say that's taking it easy, but I don't. I saw that as I'm giving you the best, what I think is the best foot forward to enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to play as hard as I can to try to win, but I think you're in a slightly better position to win, and I think you're in a slightly better position to have fun playing that way. Where if you're playing the humans, maybe you're going to be like, ugh, this is just too hard. Not that it would be too hard for you, but, you know.
Or, there's more going on with it.
Yeah.
So to have an introduction to the game, it was easier to play the demons.
And I think some people don't care about that. You know,
they just throw them in the...
Yeah, they just throw them in the deep end. And yeah. And that, I mean, that's fine if you want to do it that way, but I don't know if I believe in that practice totally. John kind of now, I don't really mind bringing out a game like Alien Frontiers, telling him the rules, and then, okay, you're on your own, we're going to play. You know, he's capable.
He can pick it up.
He's completely capable. So I guess it all depends on the people and the game and the situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Kind of have to be a judge of that.
Yeah. So what do you think about, like, tailoring game selections around the group that you're playing with? Do you just take a game and go, I really want to play, you know, I really want to play Stop the Germs because this game is freaking sweet. Do you play that game regardless of the game group that you have?
No, I personally would select games I think would be a better fit for who I'm
playing. How do you determine that?
Probably experience level would be the first thing. You know, how are they new to the hobby? Do they even game at all? You know, or are they seasoned gamers? You know,
Does theme enter into it at all?
Theme?
When you're thinking about a new game group or new people, do you pick abstract games to make them?
I don't think abstracts would fly.
You know, I tried that.
It's
funny you mentioned that. I tried that with my wife's friends came over and they wanted to have a game night, and I was excited. Like, oh, I'm going to show them my games. And so the first game I thought to show them was, what is it called? It's a Kanizia game. I can't remember what it's called, but it's just an abstract, and you're just playing colors next to the other colors, and, you know, and, oh, it's going to bug me. I can't remember what it's called, but anyway, we were playing it, and I was thinking they were really going to like it because it was totally different, you know. It's an abstract, but you couldn't find it in Target, and, you know, it was like something cool. And they were bored to tears. They were bored, and I was like, oh, I thought that was going to go over great. And then we played Cosmic Encounter, and I was like, well, let's just see. And they loved it.
Wow.
Loved it, because it turns out they weren't looking for, I thought these people were just looking for a facilitate, like let's have something on the table while we talk. Kind of like having the TV on in the background. That's kind of what I thought they were looking for.
Yeah.
But it turns out they wanted to engage with something, get some meat, you know, and Cosmic Encounter wrapped them up. And so I would say that was their gateway game.
Really?
Which is crazy, because now they play that. They play the Resistance. They'll play everything. Rampage, all that kind of lighter stuff. But it's, you know,
thematic.
Cosmic Encounter broke them in.
Did you go easy on them?
It's hard to say. Yeah, I definitely don't think I had the mindset of like, all right, I'm here with my group, I gotta win this. You know, I didn't have that mindset at all. I think I was just like more interested, and this is all natural. It just happened, you know, subconsciously. I was just like, I want to make this fun for them, so I'm going to give them the cool alien powers. I'm going to, you know, I'm just not going to look at my hand until it's my turn, and I'm not going to, like, you know, sit there and go, okay, I'll play this first round, I'll play this second, you know, I'm just like, let it go. Kind of with Catacombs. Remember Catacombs?
Yeah.
There's the Overseer, and then there's the Heroes. The Overseer, if he wants, can probably
just crush
obliterate
you.
Them.
Yeah.
But if you play it that way, it's not fun for anybody.
No.
Really. So you just kind of go up, and you flick the stuff around, and it's a blast. And I don't know. That's the way I look at it. I'm so much more about making sure the other players are having a good time. And I'll do anything against myself if it means that they will. Because I get enough play with you, with Rob, with John, where we're being competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be that way in every situation.
No.
You know?
So
I don't know if you agree with that.
So the true art of winning is actually making it enjoyable.
For me, yeah. I think so. In that way, if we're all having fun, we're all winners. You know, but no, there's something, there's actually, it's a joke, but there's something to that. You know,
yeah.
If I see that they're having a good time, I'm having a good time. That's, and again, that plays into me liking the hosting. I love to host. I love to just make sure everyone's something that they talk about afterward. Like, man, we played this game and it was so much fun. Instead of, yeah, we played one of Ryan's games and he killed us, of course. You know, something that they'll talk about and enjoy and want to come back versus, I don't know. That's what I think.
Yeah.
So do you have much experience with cheaters?
I don't, fortunately.
That is pretty awesome because I don't really either. I see it. There's a ton of threads. I'm sure you've seen them all over BoardGameGeek where people are like, ugh, you know, I caught Jimmy cheating again. You know, he's hiding, you know, tokens in his sleeve, or he's, you know, taking extra money. I see it. I see it clearly. And, you know, that just baffles me. Everybody that I've ever played with seems to have tons of integrity.
Yeah.
You know, does cheating, is there a point to cheating for you in a board game with friends? Why do you think people do it?
To win. Winning is so important, right? That they'll do anything to achieve that.
Yep.
Which is
ridiculous. If they cheated the game and no one knows, then as far as they're concerned, it was a valid win.
Because of the social aspect.
Yeah. And then people will talk about, ah, oh, this guy won.
They'll be talking about the victory for years to come.
In the cheater's mind. That's really funny. Yeah, I have not experienced any of that. I mean, to me, it always just seemed like, well, I'll know.
Yeah.
You know, I'll right know that here. that wasn't a win. Like, I just spent 3 hours or however long playing this game, and I sullied the whole thing by just taking extra money and resources when you weren't looking, or I wasn't paying what I needed to pay when we all did it simultaneously, and ha ha ha. Like, that just seems so... Why?
Seems so villainous.
It seems juvenile to me. You know, yeah, it seems it juvenile. Does, yeah. Like, when you're young, you know, I played with some kids where they, you can, you know, they're cheating. They're cheating. Because all that matters is winning. And yeah. That just comes with age and learning. That's not all that matters.
Yeah.
It's not. It's the relationships and the feeling that you did something. You know, whether you win or not, I feel like you look at this and you're like, all right, I built this. And I built it honestly.
Yeah.
You know? So, if I would honestly have no way to know about going about how to approach the subject with somebody, because to me it just seems like,
why would you even do it?
Yeah but people struggle with that. I see on the threads all the time, they're like, what am I supposed to do? This guy's a friend of mine, you know, how do I approach it to him without it just being horribly awkward? You know, some people are just like, you just walk up to him and smack him in the face and say, don't do it again, you're not invited back. Like, okay. You can't always, you know,
the
dynamics of relationships don't always work that way. But then other people are like, well, just hope that the behavior corrects itself and they won't do it anymore. And it's like, that doesn't really work either.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a tough, it's kind of a tough thing.
Yeah, it's touchy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that we're both lucky that we have not experienced that. Or if we have experienced it, then the people we're playing with are amazing cheaters. Maybe that's why Jeff and Bill win so much. But... yeah, I don't know. It's crazy to me, that kind of stuff. So, yeah. And to recap, I think there is definitely an art to winning. I really do. In terms of the pure win, I think people that just see the matrix, they can see the common threads and they can boom, 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 boom. For me, again, if it's my game and we're at my house and I'm teaching it, I just want you to have fun. I don't care how I do. And sometimes I almost feel like, ugh. When I win a game that I'm teaching to new players, it almost seems like, dang it. You know what? You know, like they're going to think, oh, of course, it's his game. He won. And then it kind of cheapens the win for me too, so I don't feel good about it no matter what. So for me, it's about having fun. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. Fun is important. Probably the most important thing. So
yeah, it's pretty important. It's pretty important to have fun, I think.
Yeah.
You don't ever want to leave and just be like, ugh, that was miserable. I can't wait to do it next week. So, yeah, that was The Art of Winning, episode three. A hat trick for us. We can probably just stop now. I mean, three is all we need.
Yep.
Some of the greatest artists in history only did 3 works. I'm making that up. I have no clue. We should probably do another one. But no, I mean, this was good.
Yeah.
This was a good one.
It was.
I agree. Well done.
I feel like
mental high five. Done.
Done. Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off. You feel like what?
No, I think I feel like we're winners.
Well, yeah. You know, wow. I'm gonna,
isn't it just Kumbaya? Such a great world?
Let me just, yeah, it's everything's amazing. I love the lollipops you're drawing on the picture there, yeah. And it's just fantastic stuff. No. Happy. Anyway, thanks for listening, and yeah. We will probably catch you next week, I hope.
Absolutely.
I hope. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we'll see. It'll happen. More games are going to be played. More interesting topics. Well, at least we think more interesting topics will be discussed. And we will see you on the flippity flop.
All right. See you later.
The Gamecasters.
The Gamecasters. 3. The Gamecasters.